and verse 14. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. Don't you know that God sees ahead through time and he understands what we need, when we're going to need it, and he's already got a solution for us. And so yesterday, as I was preparing for the service today, I just felt that God wants to do a miracle. I don't know what miracle it might be or how many they might be, or I don't know how long you've been needing a miracle, but I just feel like God wants to provide a miracle for someone today. I don't say this lightly, but I say this hopefully just to encourage you that God knows where you are and that he's already thought ahead through time and he has a solution for you and for your family and for your situation. And so throughout this service, I want us to keep that in our hearts, to receive that in our spirit, that today is my day for a miracle. Today is my day for healing or deliverance or whatever it might be. Today is my day. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain. Somebody say, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Today I preach to you on this subject, speaking faith. Speaking faith. I wonder if anybody just be willing to make up your mind. I'm not going to speak doubt. I'm not going to speak unbelief. I'm not going to speak depression and fear and sadness and heartache, but I'm going to speak faith. In the middle of my situation, I'm going to declare faith. In the middle of my need, I'm going to worship the God who is able to do anything, who is able to provide. He's able to heal. He's able to deliver. I am going to speak faith. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that your word would go forth today with anointing and with power, that our hearts would receive what you have for us. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And by faith, right now, we're going to receive whatever you have for us in this house. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is one of the smaller organs of the body, yet with its tremendous power, wars have been started, families destroyed, lives forever changed. Oh, the power of the tongue. For most of us, it weighs between 2 and 2.5 ounces. It's very small, but what potential there is both for good and evil within the tongue. Jesus clearly understood its power. In Matthew 12, 35, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the treasure out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And so we see the importance of the words that we speak. Are our words justifying us? Are they lifting us and lifting others up? Are they speaking faith and victory and encouragement? Or on the other hand, are we condemning ourselves with the words that we are speaking? Is our tongue, is our mouth producing doubt and fear and unbelief and discouragement? We do have a choice today. We do have control of our destiny, whether we will be justified or whether we'll be condemned. It is our choice. All through the words that we allow our tongue to produce. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he wrote in Proverbs 18:21, he said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Which are we speaking today? Which are we spreading? How I hope today that we are speaking life. God forbid that we are spreading death with the words of our mouth. God forbid that we are bringing destruction on our family and our friends and our church through speaking death and discouragement. But I challenge every one of us here today, let's be aware of the words that are coming out of our mouth. Don't let your words defeat you. Don't let your words destroy you. Don't let your words spread death, but speak life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. What a powerful thing the tongue is. If we choose to speak like a fool, then our mouth will be our destruction. Our lips will be the snare of our soul. It's all in the words that we choose to speak. Have you ever heard about the rice experiment? This will blow your mind. They have literally done scientific studies which have documented the power of our words. A simple experiment has come from one of these studies, and anyone can do this. Basically, they cook rice and they place it in two separate containers. One container is labeled with the positive phrase, "Thank you, rice." The other container is labeled with the negative phrase, such as "stupid rice." The two containers are to be placed in a common area of the house, and every time someone passes by them, they are to say to the one container with a heart of gratitude and with thankfulness, "Thank you." It's so crazy, isn't it? To the other container, they're supposed to speak from a place of frustration and anger, "stupid rice." It has literally been observed that the thank you rice will maintain its white color and sweet aroma, while the stupid rice develops a bad odor and loses its color and grows mold. The words that we speak have a powerful effect on everything around us, whether it's rice or some other situation we're dealing with, or your spouse, or your children, or I tell you, our words have a powerful impact. I don't understand it all, but I know this. In Texas, we had three little trees out front. And they really weren't growing much. Now, some of you gardeners understand this. I don't understand quite how this happened, but Sister McCoy started going and speaking to the trees. Now, I don't know if hopefully she was praying. I don't know exactly what she was doing. Can you imagine driving by and seeing this lady out there talking to the trees? Praying for the trees, okay? And there was a little tree on the side of the house. It was a little oak tree that I believe we'd got from Brother Bill Williams' place, and we transplanted, and it just really wasn't taking off. But I want to tell you today, there's an oak tree that's growing. And it's about as tall as me, and it's starting to have strength, and it's starting to grow because somebody had faith and spoke to it or prayed to it or prayed for it, I mean, or whatever. But I want to tell you, your words have a powerful impact. We better watch our words. There's something invisible that happens when we speak. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." When we speak, there is a spiritual connection to what we say. It affects our world. Our words affect our spirit. They affect those around us. They affect our situation. Hey, we've got enough battles to face already. God forbid that our words are setting us up for even more spiritual battles. Let us be caught not speaking death and bondage and darkness and depression, but oh, let me be caught speaking the praises of God, the wonderful things of the Spirit, declaring His wonderful works. Hey, I want somebody to catch me speaking the wonderful name of Jesus and praising Him no matter what situation I find myself in. James chapter 3, verse 3. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Our tongue determines our direction. James said it's kind of like the bit you would put in a horse's mouth. Just a small 2-inch piece of steel, but it controls that great animal. The most powerful beast that James could think of in his day. That wild animal that once ran free and uncontrollable, but now because of a piece of metal in its mouth, even a kid that knows what they're doing can control that mighty horse. They can make it trot, they can make it prance, they make it turn and stop and go wherever they want it to go. Just like our tongue, a bit is such a small thing, but it determines the direction of that mighty horse. Or James says, "Consider the large ship. Even in the midst of strong winds, in the midst of a fierce storm, that ship's direction is controlled by that ship's captain through a small rudder." And we may never understand, we may never fully understand the power of our tongue, the power to speak life and death, the ability to sow doubt or faith with the words that we speak. We've got to realize our mouth, our speech, our tongue, it determines our direction. Hey, somebody, a right word spoken at the right time may open the door that you've been needing open for a long time. A declaration of faith may be all it takes to set up that miracle that we need for, that answer that we've been searching for, the breakthrough that we're desperate for. Just a right word spoken at the right time. Or could it be the wrong word? A declaration of doubt. An idle word spoken carelessly. Some evil word could be all it takes to close the door that we've been waiting on. To diminish our faith and to sow such seeds of doubt that we'll never recover. Words most certainly determine our direction. And so I don't know about you today, but I want to specialize in speaking the right words, in declaring faith and the power of God and His praise and His glory. I don't want my lips to be used by the enemy to close the door to my miracle. I don't want my mouth to be a tool of Satan to stop what God wants to do through me. But God, help us here today. Help us to speak faith. Help us to declare life. Help us to preach truth. Help us, Lord, to speak life. This is more than just the power of positive speaking. This is a supernatural declaration of faith. This is a, come on somebody, I tell you, the enemy, he really attacked you today and he almost got you down and he almost did you in. He almost destroyed your faith.
He almost got you speaking about all the depression, and you almost let the devil have victory over that situation. But I'm preaching to somebody, you need to rise up above that. You need to have faith today. You need to stop declaring doubt and fear and unbelief and start declaring life and healing and salvation. Come on, start speaking hope to your situation. Start proclaiming God's goodness, God's mercy, and God's love. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. He is worthy of my worship. He's worthy of my praise. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Come on, everybody, somebody just magnify the Lord. Somebody lift up the name of Jesus. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of praise. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at, he's still on the throne. He's still worthy today. I praise you, Lord. I exalt you, God. I magnify your name.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sanda yarararara bosotto korerara bandi yarara baha. Hita yarararara bosotto korerara baha takara baha. Sanda yarararara bosotto yarara yanda yakito yarara baha. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, your words have your destiny in control. Your words are determining your direction. Your words, are you speaking doubt or are you declaring faith?
Hallelujah.
You just take a person and you let them be all depressed and down in the dumps and slouched all down, and it feels bad. But you take that same person that's all depressed and in the mully grubs, you just let them stand a little taller, and you let them lift up their hands and begin to declare faith with their mouth. David said, sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Come on, there's been some times in prayer that I didn't feel faith. There's been some times in prayer I was overwhelmed with my situation. But I got all alone by myself somewhere. And hey, I want to tell you, don't you just worship in church, but you need to have a worshiping spirit every day of the week. There's been some times I've been all alone, nobody else around, just me and God. And there in that corner of that room, I start to worship God. Not because I felt so great, not because everything was going fine, but because I wanted to declare faith. I wanted to speak faith. I wanted to change the atmosphere of my situation. You just lift up your hands and you make a connection with the Lord and you begin to declare faith. You begin to speak miracles and healing and deliverance, and God is going to respond. In Psalm 141 and 3, David said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. We need the Lord to cleanse our mouth right now. Has anybody ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Yeah. Well, Sean, you and I got something in common. They don't do it too much anymore. There was a time I had my mouth washed out. Lord, I need you to wash my mouth. I need you to baptize my words. Come on, I need you to baptize them with faith. Help us to speak life. Help us to proclaim hope. Set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. Jesus, be a fence to my mouth. Keep the door of my lips that I might declare the things of faith. It's time to start speaking faith. It's time to start speaking faith. Come on, I don't know what all the Lord's trying to do here today, but we've got to start speaking faith. High five somebody and say, speak faith. Come on. That was pretty weak. High five somebody else and say, speak faith.
Some of you didn't high-five anybody. We're going to look at a couple of examples today from the Word of God of people that spoke faith, where the word of faith made the connection for the miracle. First of all, we see the woman with the issue of blood. In Matthew 9 and 20, we read, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. For she said within herself, if I can just touch his garment, I'm going to be whole." She was speaking faith to herself, and her faith made the difference. We don't know all of her background today. We don't know all of the things that she tried over the years, the 12 years that she'd had her issue. And no doubt she had exhausted all of her options, and she didn't have anywhere else to turn. But somehow she pressed through the crowd of people on Jesus. And really, she pressed through more than just the crowd that day, but she pressed through the minefield of despair. She made her way past doubt and unbelief. She brushed off discouragement and frustration that she hadn't found a cure in 12 years. And she spoke faith into her own mind. She spoke faith into her spirit. She said, if I can just touch him, if I may just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Here's a woman having a conversation all by herself. Sometimes we do that. And what we say to ourselves is so immensely important today. So many times we focus on what others are saying around us. But we've got to be mindful of what we're saying to ourselves. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 25 and 11, he said, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and in pictures of silver." She could have told herself some distressing things. She could have spoken the basic truth, that life dealt her a cruel blow and that she was a victim of a shameful disease. And now she was morally unclean. And it was a disease that had robbed her so much in life. And it would have been easy to develop a grudge, to let bitterness control her heart, to be angry at the world because how she'd been cheated, and to be offended at God. How could he allow her to suffer this way? But what did she say? She said, "Yes, I'm sick. Yes, I've got a problem. I've got a situation. I've exhausted all of my options. But oh, that's not totally true, because there was a new name I heard the other day. There's another option I heard about town, and there's this man named Jesus. And they tell me that he can work cures that none other man can do. And I've heard that the power of God is in him. Hey, maybe I'll just give him a try, and he can help me. Hey, I'm going to find this man. I'm going to go find where he's at. I'm convinced somehow he's going to do this. Surely I'll not be any worse than I already am, but I believe something's going to change. I know a lot of people, they're going to be pressing close to him, trying to get close to him. But if I could just touch the tassel of his robe, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. And so this woman talked faith. She spoke faith to herself. She set out to find Jesus, speaking faith. You ever been in a tightly packed crowd? It's hard to just make your way through it. You kind of have to go along with the flow, but not this woman. She was determined. Hey, she'd been speaking faith ever since she heard of Jesus coming by. She was determined. She wasn't going to let him leave that place without receiving a miracle. If I can just touch him, I shall be healed. if I can just get close enough to touch him. And so she pressed her way through the crowd. And I don't know what she had to do to get there. Maybe she had to duck under tall men. And maybe she had to step over children. And maybe she had to crawl past some. But she pressed her way through that crowd and looking for her moment, looking for her opportunity to touch the hem of his garment. She didn't even have his attention. She wasn't even able to say, "Will you pray for me for such and such?" But there was a moment there she saw the hem of his garment, and she reached out, and her fingers brushed his clothes, and at once she was healed. Not by the touch of her fingers, but by the touch of her faith. Matthew 9:22 tells us, "But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Hallelujah, hallelujah. Her touch of faith got the attention of the mighty God in Christ. What are we speaking to ourselves today? What are we saying in our spirits? Are we talking ourselves into doubt and unbelief and defeat? Because the words that we're speaking, there is power in them. We can talk our way into depression. We can talk our way into fear. We can talk our way into sickness. But if it's possible to do that, then it's also possible to talk our way into faith, to talk our way towards victory. Come on, somebody, start speaking faith. Start declaring victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In a few moments, we're going to gather around this altar and we're going to believe God for some miracles here today. Between now and then, I want you to start speaking faith to yourself. Just start declaring faith to yourself. Come on, drive out that voice of despair. Drown out the words of defeat and start speaking about faith in God, faith in his word, faith in his power. Hey, so when you press your way through to this altar today, you've already created the atmosphere in your spirit where God can move and work a miracle. John 2 and 1, we find the story of Jesus turning the water into wine. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And notice verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Do it. The scene in which we see the first miracle of Jesus Christ is a wedding in some obscure little village. Who's the bride? We don't know. Apparently, she was some peasant girl whose family really wasn't in the who's who of Galilee. Who's the groom? John doesn't tell his name as well. And just some peasant worker who fell in love. But when Jesus receives an invitation to a wedding, he's glad to come. I hope that we invite him to our wedding. I hope that we invite him to our home. I hope that we invite him to our family, because when he receives an invitation like that, he accepts that invitation with gladness, and he'll be there with us. In this first miracle, we see the principle of speaking faith to others. Mary comes to Jesus and says, "Well, they've run out of wine." Jesus says, "Well, what does that have to do with me? Mine hour is not yet come." But Mary, sweetly and confidently, she says to the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And Jesus, he looks to those servants and he says, "Go fill those water pots that are sitting there." Water pots used for washing and for cleansing. And go take those water pots and fill them with water. And they fill them up to the brim. And Jesus says, "Take up that water and bring it to the governor of the feast." And when the governor of the feast had tasted, he said, "You have saved the best until last." We're preaching about speaking faith. Too many times we get focused on having faith for our situation, and we lose sight of others who are in great need today. This life we live as a Christian, it's not all about ourselves and what we're going through, but we need to find ourselves someone else sometimes to speak faith to. Sometimes you may be out during the week and there's not a praise team there to help you sing. There's not a preacher there to help you pray. It may not be the right time for a miracle. But our word of faith, spoken to the person in need, our word of direction, pointing them to the Lord, could be the catalyst that sparks a miracle in their life. What are we speaking to those around us? What words are we sowing into their lives? Are they words of faith? Are they words of hope? Or are we sowing uncertainty and fear? God forbid we be sowing gossip. God forbid we be sowing confusion, because we're going to be held accountable for our words. Every idle word spoken, our words have an effect on those around us. There's no way of measuring the possible harm we can do with our words. But on the other hand, there's no way of measuring the life change that we can cause to come about because of a word of faith. Choose faith. Choose life. Choose to declare the goodness of the Lord. Always speak faith to others. Speaking faith. Speaking faith to ourselves. Speaking faith to others. And of course, we've got to speak faith to Jesus. Do you remember old blind Bartimaeus? Mark 10:46 tells us, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answering and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Now here was a man that nobody envied. Nobody was lining up to trade places with Bartimaeus. There may have been some who pitied him, and probably many more who despised him. He was an inconvenient presence in the city of Jericho. No doubt many had discussed the reason why he was blind. Did he sin, or did his parents sin, or what sin brought this on this man? But regardless of who was at fault, here was this man, and he was a reminder of poverty, a reminder of disease, of that which was unpleasant. And they had allowed him his place. They had put up with him. And he had his place of begging off the side of the road leading to the city. And there they had become accustomed to him sitting, merely existing on a few handouts of those who felt sorry for him. But one day, blind Bartimaeus was changed, and he ceased to merely exist, and he began to live. How did this happen? How did this come about? One day, there was a little more traffic than usual along the road, and he started questioning. He started begging for someone to tell him what was up and to tell him what's different about this day. Why are these people here? And he learns that Jesus is passing by. Jesus, the one who has power beyond human ability. Jesus, the one who healed the sick by a simple word. He made lepers pure. He even brought the dead back to life. This is the Jesus that's coming. Jesus, a descendant of David, The news electrified him, and his heart started beating out of his chest. And I tell you, there's some that are unmoved by the presence of the Lord, but not blind Bartimaeus. He couldn't contain his faith. He couldn't be quiet about what he was feeling. It started escaping his mouth. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He put everything he had into that prayer. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This was more than just a man, but this was Jesus, a descendant of the house of David. This was the Messiah come to save his people. If anybody can help me, surely Jesus can. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't you pass me by. I know I'm just in my place over here, but I believe in a miracle today. I believe by faith. And people were shocked by the loud cry of this beggar. The level of his prayer was too loud for his comfort, their comfort. He was making a scene. He was disturbing the peace. Of course, Jesus wouldn't want to be bothered by this man who's an outcast. But Bartimaeus wasn't to be silenced. He cried all the more, and he spoke faith to Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. When he realized the crowd was against him, he shouted even louder. The greater the opposition, the more determined he became, the more desperate his cry. And above the cries of those trying to silence him, Jesus heard his cry of faith. And those for a moment who were trying to push him to the side were now telling him, he's calling for you. Hey, Bartimaeus, he's calling for you. He wants you to come. Imagine Bartimaeus today. What a thrill to his heart. Nobody had ever wanted Bartimaeus. Nobody had ever called for him. But now Jesus wants him, and his cry of faith made a connection with his miracle that day. Have you been crying out to the Lord? Have you been crying out in faith? I hope you're speaking faith to your spirit. I hope you're speaking faith to those around you. But definitely speak faith as you cry out to Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, I know there's opposition. I know you got to get desperate. But I want to tell you, the more opposition there is, it must mean that there's a greater miracle in store. You keep crying faith. You keep speaking faith. You keep pressing forward. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. We got to have the right spirit when we cry out to the Lord. We're not demanding him to do anything. This is God manifested in flesh. This is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We don't just say, hey, Jesus, do this or do that. No. But we have the right spirit. On the other hand, we don't beg either. Oh, God. I'm so desperate. This world hates me. No. We have to have the right spirit, the right balance. But by faith, Jesus, have mercy on me. In this house here today, you know my need. You know my situation. And I believe, Lord, that you can touch me. I believe you can make me whole. I believe you can touch my family. I believe you can provide for my need. Jesus, thou son of David, the Messiah, have mercy on me today. And Jesus heard his cry. And Jesus answered his prayer. Would you stand with me today? And I believe that there is the voice of the Spirit today. The voice of our Savior, our King, that if we would listen, we could hear him speaking faith to us. In John chapter 10, verse 14. John chapter 10, verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Notice verse 16. I'd never read this quite like this. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Brother Pruitt, that jumped out at me. Thomas the doubter. It didn't just start after the crucifixion, but apparently Thomas had a problem with doubt. He hears Lazarus is dead and he's, oh, let's just go die with him. Jumping down to verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. Oh, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Jesus said, Father, I thank thee. In his flesh he cried out to the Spirit, Father, I thank thee that you've heard me. And I know you hearest me always, but because of the people that are standing around, that's why I said it, Lord, because, Father, I want them to believe that you've sent me. And I believe in this house today, if we could hear, if we could hear the voice of the Spirit, our Lord would say, I want you to know, I've come here today for you. I've paid the price for your healing. I've paid the price for your deliverance. I've won the keys over death, hell, and the grave. And I am here today not just as a man, not just as a friend, but I am here today with the King, as the King of power. The King that has authority over your need, that has authority over sickness, that has wisdom and power and ability, and everything that you need is here today. If we could hear the words of Jesus speaking faith to us here today, I believe that he would speak to somebody that's dead in your situation, and he would say, come forth. Don't you stay there in that doubt and unbelief any longer. Don't you remain defeated anymore, but I want you to come forth in faith today, because I've already paid for your healing. I've already purchased your deliverance, and it's here in this house. If you would come forth. Hallelujah. What are we speaking? Are we speaking doubt? Are we speaking unbelief? Well, God couldn't set me free because I've messed up so many times. Well, God can't heal me because for whatever reason, he hasn't healed me yet, so I just don't think he can do it today. Are we speaking doubt and unbelief, or are we speaking faith? I've tried everything else. I don't know where else to turn. Oh, but I've got one more place to go, and I'm going to the feet of Jesus. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. Oh, who is it today that you just need to hear the voice of Mary that says, hey, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Because Jesus is speaking. Why don't you give it to me today? Why don't you let me work in your situation today? Oh, who could it be today that like blind Bartimaeus, you need to let that faith rise up in you and determine, I'm not leaving here without a miracle today. But Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, I wonder if we could gather around this altar right now, not begging, not pleading, not depressed, but I wonder if you could come declaring faith, speaking faith. Lord, you're able. God, you know my need. Lord, you see my situation. I'm coming by faith. I'm declaring faith. I'm declaring victory. I'm declaring healing today. I'm proclaiming it by faith.